the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on a quiet August weekend, at least in Italy, as August is the month of the so-called Great Exodus, when Italians leave big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between for some vacation time at a summer home in the mountains or at the seashore. There's lots of signs saying chiuso per ferie, closed for the holidays, that appear on stores, pharmacies, restaurants, coffee bars, cleaners, you name it. You have to be here to experience this. Okay, I'll get to the news in a minute, but want to remind you to stay tuned afterwards for the interview segment and part two of my conversation with Johnny Verba, creator of the now famous 1,000-piece, 3-by-4-foot mosaic that depicts the future St. Carlo Acutis. We spoke while he was in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth. Johnny's very life is as colorful and diverse as his mosaic of Blessed Carlo. What inspires him, how he meets new challenges and projects in life, and his mission, quote, to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the Catholic faith through storytelling and deeply meaningful multimedia art. So don't miss that great story. Now for the news. Sunday, August 3rd. Sunday was the culmination of a 24-hour event that brought together in one place the successor of Peter and 1 million young people from 146 different countries, concluding the week-long Jubilee of Youth. Italian broadcaster Rai called the Saturday afternoon's pre-vigil a Catholic Woodstock, as singers, dancers, and musicians throughout Saturday entertained the young people arriving on the massive grounds of Tor Vergata University. 500,000 square meters, the size of 70 football fields. The image of a rock star became concrete when Pope Leo arrived in early evening via helicopter for the open-air prayer vigil. The euphoric pilgrims gave Pope Leo an ecstatic welcome, cheering loudly as they waved flags, chanted, and sang. The evening continued with the Pope answering probing questions from young people about friendship, life's choices, and especially making friends with Jesus. Pope Leo returned to Tor Vergata Sunday for Mass, again arriving via helicopter. He encouraged the youth to be best friends with Jesus, urging them to aspire to great things, to holiness, wherever you are. Do not settle for less. Jesus, he said, is our hope, the one who awakens the desire to change the world through love, prayer, and courage, like Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Movingly, the Holy Father said, "The Lord is gently knocking at the window of your soul." Monday, August 4th. In a telegram sent in the Pope's name by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin to the Apostolic Nuncio in Yemen and the Apostolic Delegate to the Arabian Peninsula, Leo XIV entrusted to the loving mercy of Almighty God the dozens of victims, mostly Ethiopian nationals, who perished in a shipwreck while attempting to reach Saudi Arabia and other wealthy oil-producing countries. Also Monday, in a message, Pope Leo urged the thousands of young people at the 36th International Youth Festival in Medjugorje to walk together, support each other, and inspire one another. He described the theme, "We will go to the house of the Lord," as evocative of a journey, of a longing that moves us towards God, toward his dwelling place, where we can truly feel at home because it is there that his love awaits us. Tuesday, August 5th, on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of the Hiroshima atomic bombings, Pope Leo XIV, in a message to Bishop Alexis Shirama of Hiroshima, urged the international community to renew its commitment to pursue lasting peace for our whole human family. Nuclear arms offend our shared humanity and betray the dignity of creation, whose harmony we are called to safeguard, said Leo in the message. The message was read by the Apostolic Nuncio during the celebration of Mass for Peace in Hiroshima. Marking 80 years since the nuclear bombing by U.S. forces of the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, in which 150,000 and 246,000 people died, the Pope said the two cities remain living reminders of the profound horrors wrought by nuclear weapons. He quoted his predecessor, Pope Francis, who said, "War is always a defeat for humanity." Wednesday, August 6th. Pope Leo sent a video message to the Knights of Columbus as they gather in Washington for their 143rd Supreme Convention. He thanked them for their service for the most needy and pointed to the example of Blessed Michael McGivney, founder of the Knights, who responded to the needs of immigrant Catholics and the poor with practical help and spiritual support. "This mission of fraternal charity," said Leo, "continues through the work of local Knights of Columbus councils around the world." Also Wednesday, via a video message, Pope Leo addressed the Third Congress of the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network, expressing his gratitude for the network's hard work and extending his prayers for everyone who has gathered to reflect on the future of the Church in Africa. Wednesday at the weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo XIV reflected on the mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus by considering the importance of preparing for an encounter with God. He explained the gospel passage where the disciples were surprised to find that the upper room had already been made ready for them to celebrate the Passover. The Pope said, "We are invited to discover here an image of our own hearts, chosen and set aside by the Lord as a place of encounter with Him. First, however, we must respond to the Lord's initiative by preparing our hearts through concrete acts of love, forgiveness, and self-giving, so that He may come and dwell within us. Let us ask the Lord today to teach us how to prepare for His presence and to be able to welcome Him and those around us into our hearts." Also August 6th, as war continues to afflict so many peoples across the world, from Gaza to Sudan, from Ukraine to Myanmar, from Haiti to the DRC to Syria, the International Union of Superiors General launched an urgent appeal for a worldwide day of fasting and prayer for peace on August 14th, the eve of the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary. Thursday, August 7th, three inmates from Venice's Santa Maria Maggiore prison were among a group of pilgrims received by Pope Leo on Thursday. They were accompanied to the audience by the Patriarch of Venice, Archbishop Francesco Moraglia, and by prison chaplain Father Massimo Cadamuro, along with other archdiocesan officials. One of the prisoners gave the Pope a hand-blown glass chalice. The prison director said the opportunity to allow inmates to take part in an intense human and spiritual journey filled him with pride. Archbishop Moraglia said it was Pope Leo who accepted the inmates' request for an audience at the end of their pilgrimage. Also Thursday, in a telegram to Bishop Matthew Gyamfi of Suyani Diocese, Ghana, president of the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference, Pope Leo expressed his sorrow over the deaths of ministers, government officials, and the crew who perished in a military helicopter crash on Wednesday, August 6th, in Ghana. The telegram was sent in the Pope's name by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin. Friday, August 8th, there were a number of private audiences for the Holy Father. Well, those are the top stories of the week, but now stay here for part two of my interview with Johnny Verba.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2000. Mother receives an enormous package from the Vatican. She opens a box live on her television show and discovers a monstrance that had been given to John Paul II during his 1999 pilgrimage to Poland.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Here's another EWTN Real News Minute. the year 450 AD. Nestorius, the Patriarch of Constantinople, claims that there are two persons in Jesus Christ, one divine and one human. Nestorius also objects to calling Mary the Mother of God and renames her Mother of the Savior. In 431 AD, the Emperor Theodosius II convenes the Council of Ephesus, which condemns Nestorius as a heretic. He is banished and dies in exile. 20 years later, at the Council of Chalcedon, Nestorianism is finally vanquished with the proclamation that Jesus is one divine person with both divine and human natures. Jesus is true God and true man who was born, died, and resurrected. Therefore, Mary is indeed the Mother of God.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Johnny Verba, creator of the now famous mosaic that depicts future St. Carlo Acutis. Johnny had spent some days in Rome during the Jubilee of Youth, sharing the mosaic and its story with the young people. Johnny's very life seems like a wonderful, colorful, multifaceted mosaic, and we learn more about it this week in part two of our conversation, when we talk about what prompted him to make this artistic tribute to Carlo, as well as his self-stated mission, quote, to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the Catholic faith through storytelling and deeply meaningful multimedia art. Was this mission behind the Acutis mosaic? What is his next step on this mission, to be a catalyst for a new renaissance in the faith? He also tells us of his hopes for the mosaic to be a teaching tool for teachers and children. So you got your idea from something you saw in Chicago, kind of.
Yes, yeah, there was an original artist, Roger Carter, actually, and he had been doing pictures of George Floyd, and it was for something entirely different, but I'd seen it at a distance. I actually didn't know who he was, and it took time of me looking up. What do you look up? Art mosaic made of figures, and I'd remembered that idea, and I said, well, what if I had them facing the crucifix? What if I had other toys? And then it blew up from there in my mind, and I started to jot down all the ideas.
You really have to watch the video because you do explain each single thing and how it's linked to or is a part of Carlo's life. And then today in the church, I said, okay, now, Johnny, what is the... It's Carlo's face that we're looking at, okay? But the background to this piece, which is 3 by 4 feet, you said? The background, it's green. And you told me that is grass. Say that again to our listeners.
Yes, that is a grassy turf that is glued on there with actually a spray concrete cement. And, of course, that's the pitch. That is the turf. That's the grass that Carlo would have played his the beautiful game, football. So you have the two soccer goals. And so everything is incorporated.
Okay, and then when I do put up the picture that I took of that, I will explain the grass as well and the two soccer goals. So to look at that a little more in depth, you know, how you made the mosaic, we're hearing all these little parts that are going together, the time involved, and what inspired the different pieces.
Well, the time was approximately 6 or 7 months working on other things and, of course, being on mission at the same time. And it was about 500 hours in total, which is quite a few hours. I was keeping track from idea in my head to starting to do an outline on paper to then actually buying the materials on Facebook Marketplace and finding. I didn't have 1,000 figures. I had a couple hundred maybe, but I still had to go out and find these toys. And beyond that, the initial connection to Carlo, I had never heard of Carlo until last beginning of summer 2024 when a student named Allie, who I was very close friends with, told me about Carlo and introduced me to him. And that's what got the gears turning about different toys and creating this piece. And she reminded me that, well, he was just... The canonization was not announced, the date. So I knew in November they would announce the date, and then potentially I could bring it to Rome.
And as a matter of fact, you've met the family. You've been to Italy. You've met... did you meet his dad, too, or just... You met Mom and Dad?
We originally had a meeting with Mrs. Acutis, but it was actually canceled due to Papa Francesco's passing.
And so
I've never met the family.
Oh, well, he was supposed to be... Carlo Acutis was going to be canonized on April 27th. A jubilee of young people, and as you said, the Pope died, you know, Easter Monday. So His funeral was on the 27th, so...
And we were there, yeah.
Obviously, yes, exactly.
So, one day I hope to meet the family 100%. And they know of the piece. They've seen the website, but they haven't seen it in person.
Oh, they haven't?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting.
The goal was for my 25th birthday to bring it. We actually had an appointment set up with Antonia in Assisi on the 28th, the day after the supposed canonization that was canceled. So they were going to meet and to see it, and that was all postponed indefinitely.
But sure.
It's in Italy. They live in Milano, so they will come to the Centro San Lorenzo.
How is that packed for travel?
That's a great question.
Because it's so delicate.
Very carefully.
It's all third dimensional, because if you were to lay this on its side, I mean on a table, flat on a table, you're still looking at the crucifix of it. Mm-hmm. There's three dimension there.
The pieces stick out and they're delicate, and it cannot have any weight on that side at all. So shout out to Phoenix Art Care in Arizona, a Catholic group and sacred art galleries down in Mesa and Scottsdale. And they helped me create a frame that would put no pressure on any of the figures, no matter what dimension that DHL twisted it, and so it was actually very safe the entire time. And when it arrived, there was a big reveal and a whole bunch of air in our lungs, and we held our breath, unscrewed all the 26 nails, opened the cover, and Carlo was intact.
Wow. Oh, thank God. What is your next step on this mission we just talked about, to be a catalyst for a new renaissance through storytelling and meaningful multimedia art? Let's kind of look at storytelling.
I think that there's so many incredible stories, and we know that before there was even paper and pencil. How did people pass along messages? Long stories, epic stories that went on for hours, because people remember a story. And of course, Jesus spoke in parables. And we know so many of the lives of the saints. We know the stories. We can see their stories even depicted in stained glass. But what's so cool about Carlo is he takes the saints down from the stained glass, and of course he will be risen up from the stained glass. But he takes them down into scuffed sneakers, which is what he's buried in Assisi at St. Maria Maggiore. And so the storytelling component with the piece, what's the thing I want people to take away? The one thing. And they look at it, and they see that every single piece has meaning and purpose and a vision behind it, just like every single soul that God has created has a meaning, purpose, and a vision. So too, this art piece translates that message.
Aww.
And when they look into the piece, they see things they recognize. So it continually makes that connection. That Carlo played with the same things. You can play video games. You can, of course, you don't have to pray for 10 or 12 or found a religious order or become a priest.
Right.
You can be a boy. And we are all called to holiness. The universal call to holiness applies to the entire universe.
When I started working at the Vatican under John Paul, he insisted on this, and all the popes have. Yes. This is our call in life from the day we were born. Mm-hmm. But he was upset that there were not more lay people. And he said to the then Congregation for Causes of Saints, he said, I know personally holy people, holy families, couples, young people. He said, but everybody thinks you have to either die a martyr or you have to found a religious order to be a saint. And he said, you don't. And he said, normal people, everybody listening to me now, we're all destined to be a saint. So he really got the ball rolling on that. And we've seen couples and young people, and we're going to see two more, become saints. But just to digress for a minute on his story. I was in Switzerland with my mom years ago on a trip. And we saw so many buildings that had artwork outside, paintings, right on the building. And our guide in one area where the entire street, every single building had paintings on it. And our guide explained that years ago, not that many people could read, you'd invite somebody to come to your house. You'd say you live on the street with the big fountain. I live on the story of Noah's Ark. And so Noah's Ark would be on what today we call the second story. That's why we say a building has stories. So it actually goes back a couple hundred years. I always thought that was fascinating. Again, this mission to be a catalyst, how to do that through meaningful multimedia art beyond the mosaic that we've been talking about.
The goal would be to continue to make mosaics, and still out of toys and different things, as there are objects that really do a great job at representing different saints, but beyond Carlo into potentially Pierre, going back to JP2 and others that I would love to create. And the goal would be to have speaking engagements with them. And when you hear about a speaking engagement, I say, I have a speaking opportunity or engagement. We say that, but is it really an engagement if it's a monologue?
If it's one-sided,
so my goal is to have an open dialogue the entire time, which is what I did at the San Marcello Corso just yesterday at 11 a.m. And I would invite and ask people, come forward, and please ask your favorite question, which is three letters. Why? Why is this piece there? Why that? Why that placement? Why that color? And I, through your question, can tell the story of Carlo engaging with the piece and having people come up. And so, especially with children at schools, assemblies, whatever it might be, the goal really would be to travel with Antonia and have the piece with me to help tell the story of Carlo.
Kids
come up and point at things as they're able to see it and visualize and touch it.
But how important this multimedia art, this art that speaks to you, can be for children. For teachers to have as an assignment for young kids to make a teensy small version of what you made. So children could become involved themselves, couldn't they?
100%. And sometimes when we see surrealism or very detailed paintings or drawings, it can be intimidating. But when you look at this piece, it is, and I wouldn't demean it in any way by saying a professional craft. Professional crafting. It is still, I would consider, fine art, and it takes a lot of precision and time and planning to get to that point. But when you get close and you're looking at the piece, and children are like, hey, this is made of toys. These are just toys.
Yeah, something I know.
them making exactly not only the sainthood, but them making art and then getting into their creative space, whatever their medium would be, not saying it's multimedia, more approachable as they look and see, oh, this is made of things that I'm familiar with. This is familiar. I'm comfortable. This isn't intimidating. I'm going to go create now.
But I mean, the fact that this is a saint, because they know St. Joseph, St. Mary, St. Clair, St. Francis. Wow, this is somebody who lived just a few years ago. This is a young boy. He played with toys. Yes, he loved the rosary. He loved the Eucharist. Those were the huge parts of his life.
Right.
But he actually played soccer. And he knew how to use all the social media and laptop and everything else, which Pier Giorgio did not know, but it wasn't around. It wasn't his fault. It just wasn't there.
And he would have.
Yeah, exactly, right. Oh, you want to picture the two of them together, don't you? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, what an image. Now, just one more thing you mentioned earlier. You're in Denver. And my actual last question was, what did you actually want to do with your degree at ASU in management and international business? What was, on graduation day, your kind of thought about the future?
Well, taking the business degree and going through, most people switch their degrees many times, and actually in my case, I did not switch my degree. I stuck with business management, and as you mentioned, the WP Carey 101 course, I loved being in front of the classroom, and that was a special internship that actually got me 500 level coursework. The internship was that level 4 teaching a 101 course, and I loved having them be 1 year younger than me. Might be surprising is that sometimes freshmen come in who are older than me because they served in the military.
Oh,
so here I am,
yeah.
An 18-year-old teaching a 26-year-old, that grading their papers, and that's a very interesting dynamic. That was very fun to handle, and everything went spectacularly. But I think I imagined studying abroad in the future, which I hadn't done yet when I first came in and when I graduated. I wanted to serve in a position where I could be in front of a camera, so not necessarily radio, but I wanted to start a business that would impact the whole world, that would be worldwide, multinational, where I could learn about the different cultures and use Hofstede's insights, which we use frequently in classes to see how different cultures interact, and be able to travel and have my family not have a global experience through just reading, but have one of their own and actually know how to engage in an open dialogue. And this segues perfectly into one of my favorite quotes of Carlo from his friends and family that's not well known, is that they said about Carlo that no culture was foreign to him. He was able to converse about any culture, not that he spoke every language, but he was comfortable talking to different people of religions. Hindu, his babysitter that he converted was Hindu. And so I love that open dialogue, and the world is actually...
And not very common at that age.
And not common at that age.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be intimidated to talk to people of Islam or different faiths or Tao, whatever religion or whatever country they're from. And that's where his website reached, which you can see depicted at the bottom with the nucleus of explosion going out to all the world.
So, people say of me, I guess something we could apply to Carlo, and Joan never met a stranger.
That's actually very profound.
Yes, a very profound statement. So,
yes. Well, thank you for asking that question. But I'm in Rome, and the art piece is here. This is my first, I guess, international affair. But I did an internship in the finance world, and I ended up ending that. So I think I'll need to be more creative and see what happens in the future.
Well, I wish you well, and I I only wish I had done one other thing in this interview. I get so involved in having the conversation with my guest that I forget at a halfway point to say, by the way, folks, if you've just tuned in now, you've been listening to Johnny Verba. So that's what happened, just to get carried away with your story, which before we even met, I was fascinated by. So I wish you well. I wish you well the rest of your time in Rome with all the wonderful young people we were surrounded by this morning in church. Very, very beautiful, because Monsignor Tony Figueredo was blessing all of us with that extraordinarily beautiful relic containing the pericardium of a Blessed Carlos. Yes. So,
and I have a gift for you. Before we go, sacrilegious. I have got Carlo Acutis socks for you. Yes, those are yours.
Gosh. Oh, those are, well, this, a picture of this will also go on my blog. So Friday, folks, tune in to, well, the weekend is the radio show. Friday will be my blog. And maybe I'll just have these on Friday. Who knows? But anyway, I want to thank you for your love, your dedication, your faith, and bringing all of that to so many people. And you just seem to have a boundless energy and enthusiasm. Keep that up. It will bring you far. It really will, as I try to. I have enthusiasm for so many things, and I think that is what keeps me young, you know, young at heart, anyway. So, Johnny Verba, bless you, and bless you in your travels, your family. I hope it, the Carlo Acutis family reunion with you takes place. So,
thank you, Joan.
And anyway, I'm glad you're here for the Jubilee of Youth, because I'm running out of words to describe what the Jubilee is and what we've seen. But anyway, have a beautiful rest of the week, and you don't have too much more time here in Rome.
Only till tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not any time at all. Yeah. Okay. Well, God bless you and safe travels, and obviously we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you. God has blessed me.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.